disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
And pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, as I just prayed before we went on the air, a little joke I heard a long time ago. April showers bring Mayflowers, and what do Mayflowers bring? Pilgrims. So good morning there. Good morning there, pilgrims. This is Monday morning, bright and early. Coming to you live in our underground bunker here outside in the cornfields, Columbus, Ohio. Coach Dave and our crew. Bless all of you for tuning in. Maybe we picked up a few new listeners after our journey down to Dallas to hear the Watchman Conference. We'll talk a little bit about that, but I'm not gonna do a full review on that. And want to thank all of you for tuning in. I saw again the importance of cross pollination. We're not very good at that. We're not very good at that in the body of Christ in particular. We're not very. I don't get ahead of myself, man. I get something bubbling inside of me today. We're still fighting a lot of jealousy. You know what I'm saying? We're still fighting a lot of jealousy. I got all the truth and you don't. Jesus called that the leaven of the Pharisees. And I just pray that the Lord always helps me continue to remember that I ain't nobody, and that anything I know and anything I do and anything I say is a direct result of the revelation that the Holy Spirit's given. I don't want to go to fight over Scripture says in 2 Timothy, I believe it is, that foolish and unlearned questions do avoid, for they do engender strifes. Maybe we'll get to that, Jared. I'll dig that scripture out here at some point. And just so honored, for those of you who don't know, we were in Dallas, Texas to hear the Watchman Conference. And I just continued to sit there and just be amazed, number one, that people would come basically, sit on their butt all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and listen to people talk. And I know some guys had to get out of there early yesterday, traveling reasons. I understand that. Michelle and I left about 5 o'clock, and John Reagan, the last speaker, was speaking at 5 o'clock, followed by a panel that was going to get up front. And I had to leave before the panel. But I was amazed, Rich, that place was 3/4 full still at 5 o'clock on Sunday when we got out of there. I mean, I told my wife when we went up after Russ Dizdar, Russ was really good on Saturday night. After I thought, well, there's the keynote. Won't be anybody here tomorrow morning. Wow, they hung around, and I'm going to show you some video here real quick. We did some water baptisms. About 150, 160 people were baptized. I got some stories to tell. And you know, listen. This is so important. Hey, Jared, see if you can. This just came real quickly, Jared. See if you can find, even though it's not scriptural, the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. See if you can Google that for me real quick. I think you can just type in If, and it'll pump up. I learned some really, really valuable lessons, as always. And, guys, there are so many. Oh, my goodness. There's so many people out there who love Jesus who aren't in church. There's just so many. And I particularly saw this. There are a lot of hurting men. You know, it's hard to be a man in today's society, especially if you're walking alone. And there are a lot of guys that are out there that are walking alone. And our message, what we're doing, so ministers to them. But I struggle a little bit to figure out, you know, how do we help them? How do we bring them along? And here's something I think is essential. Jared's got that up there. Jared's a good man. By Rudyard Kipling. And I want to read this to you, and I want to point out something specifically. And even though this isn't scriptural, Kipling said that if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, and if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, If you can wait, not be made tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream but not make dreams your master, and if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. Here's where I'm heading. No, I'm sorry, not there yet. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to be broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. Scroll down, Jared, please. If you can make one heap of all of your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and your nerve and your sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone. And so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. Here's where I was heading. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings and not lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, and if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, well, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. And I just want to say to all the guys who made presentations at Hear the Watchman, that's what was impressed me the most, is they walk with kings and they don't lose the common touch. That's hard to do, man. We live in a society with such hero worship. Guy gets up on the platform. We think there's something special about the guy on the platform. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy on the platform here in a minute. And you know what's all level to cross? You know the old saying, you think yours doesn't stink. Well, brother, there's something wrong with your nose. And I think that's been one of the real hindrances of Christianity, is we think there are those who are on higher platforms. God's no respecter of persons. All he wants you to do and me to do is just to walk out our faith and do what it is he's called us to do. And I'm honored to be associated with you guys. I thank Robert, who drove however many miles, and Michael and Misty came with him, and Glenn and Corinne, and I'm going to forget who. They're all, man, oh, man. Josh, Sarge, how can I forget Sarge? Sarge is still there. We had a great crew there. Rich, just take a minute, man, if you can. George, I want you to do the same thing. Just kind of your reaction, and we're going to kind of move on from there.
It was humbling. I mean, part of it felt like a church service, which
it did.
I still have a little issue with, but there were hurting men there.
There are men.
You know, and you know, we got to spend that whole Friday evening with Todd and Leslie, the guy that walked up, and, you know, he was tired of church and giving the church. And
yeah,
he's just a guy. He's just a guy that's just had enough, and he wants to, he loves God, and he just wants to do something about it. And given going and sitting in a pew and giving his money clearly was no longer what he wanted to do.
No.
And he was a sharp guy, good heart. You could just tell.
Yeah.
We just enjoyed every minute together. I got to meet George face to face for the first time, man. It was one of the highlights of my trip. I love that guy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And I got to hear how Oklahoma's head of the curve a lot of these issues, but George, it was a pleasure, bro.
Good. It is good, and it's eye-opening, and I always come away, Rich, with how much I don't know. I mean, I just sit there, and I say, man, there's so little I don't know, and so much they've told me that doesn't seem to be the truth, and it's so much deeper than what we think it is. I was proud. Let me throw this out here, George, and then I'll come to you. And Rich, I was so proud of you guys when I said, hey, let's go up. You know, let's go up to the altar, because they're doing an altar call, and we're going to go up there and pray with these people. And you want to talk about getting out of your comfort zone. I mean, if you've never done that before, you walk up in front of that thing, and these people come walking down the aisle, and they come up to you, and they want you to pray for them. Man, that stretches a guy. And I was up there too, but I'm looking around. I'm watching Chad, what Chad's praying. I'm looking over Rich's praying. I mean, it blessed my heart, man. Stretched you, didn't it, Rich?
It did, because like you said, they're hurting people. I mean, and it became a little overwhelming, to be honest with you. There's a bunch of church people there. You don't think many's hurting.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're formerly church people, and they're hurting because of the church in most cases. Yeah, they don't have anything to turn to. You guys may be proud. George, wait, what's your reaction, George?
I'll tell you, it was overwhelming, to be honest with you. But I was amazed how everyone, all the speakers, although they said different things, they were really all on the same page. There was just a spirit of unity amongst the speakers, which trickled down into the crowd. And it really just showed me that you know, where we're heading as a body, what we need to do. I mean, your talk, Coach, on taking action, I know that moved people. I know that because most people don't have an action plan. They just, you know, get stuck doing the same old thing.
Yep.
And I mean, it was just an amazing weekend. And, you know, I got to start my weekend off by spending some time with you and Michelle, and then Thursday night going and meeting Rich and his wife and Robert and his wife for dinner. And Rich, brother, that was a highlight for me. Just you guys, I'm still thinking about what you share with me about Washington, D.C., and how I'll be there next year with you guys.
I'm sorry, George. May 18th and 19th, L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar are coming to Ohio. We'd love for you guys to have it. Also, we're going to go – they'd like us to come to – Roger, put this one down. Last weekend in August, I believe, we're going to go – another Hear the Watchman of Boise, Idaho. And that's gone. That's worth going just to see Boise, Idaho. So, you know, you guys go ahead and mark that down. Bless you guys. I want to move on. It's all. Go ahead, George. I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to thank you, Coach, for inviting me and just the guys in the brigade. You're right. Just top notch people.
Yeah, it's something, thank man. We've got a special bond going on, buddy. We got a special bond. I posted something on my Facebook page. I'm gonna show you a little bit of the baptism here, but let's do that. Let's do that first, Jared. Let me go backwards. Go to my Facebook page, Jared, and go to the baptism, because I want you guys to see some of this. I'm not gonna play this long, but people, folks, we need to see this. We asked people who wanted to be baptized. We took them down in the pool, down at the hotel. And Michelle did Facebook Live, and we live streamed it. And I'll just show you a little bit of what's going on. I want you to notice this: these people were baptizing these folks, and of course, there's some brigade guys and their pastor, Mike Spaulding, and me, and Chad, and Pastor Paul Bagley. There are people circling around us that you can't see. They're all just standing there and singing the song. It was really, really cool. And so let's just watch a little bit of this. See what this was. This is on Sunday morning after Sunday morning service. Go ahead, play a little bit of that, Jared. Stop that a second, Jared. One of the amazing things is, Rich, George, you didn't know this. Josh Manda up there. Josh is working the pool for us, and we're about done baptism and also baptizing people, and all of a sudden he comes walking down with his son and his wife. and he baptized his son and he baptized his wife. He came walking down and says, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to do this one. His man is awesome. Go ahead and play that. Keep playing it, Jed. Hear people singing in the background. One after another, they just came and came and came and came. Well, I can tell you stories about this brother. Okay, Jared, you can go ahead and freeze that. We baptized whole family members together. We baptized a mother and two sons together. We baptized husbands and wives. Oh, man, it was a powerful, man. It's powerful. And you think about this, how long are you going to go to church? Roger, that great big old church, how often they baptize? You know, we had 135 of them. And you know, listen, I'm just going to tell you, there are a lot of hurting people out there, and we need to help them with some fellowship, for sure. Okay, listen, I posted something on my Facebook page. I got to tell you this story. God's amazing, folks. He's amazing. Michelle and I, we were in the airport. I got to the airport about 5 o'clock. Glenn and Corinne dropped us off at the airport, Dallas. We're sitting there, Michelle and I are just sitting there eating we had a little sandwich to eat. And you know, you're sitting in the airport and people are going by, and we're sitting right at where the people empty off of the plane. And those of you who don't know, I taught special education. So did Michelle, but I was a special education teacher, handicapped kids. Multi-handicapped kids. I taught kids with autism and couldn't speak. And I taught some pretty, you know, my heart was really softened for kids. So I have this habit of, I look people in wheelchairs in the face. I see somebody in a wheelchair, I always try to make eye contact with them. Because I learned in all my experiences with working with handicapped kids that we usually divert our eyes away when we see somebody in a wheelchair. And it gives the person in the wheelchair the feeling that they're not there. We don't know what to say. They're in a wheelchair, whatever. Hey, dude, they're a person, all right? They're a person. They're riding in a chair, but they're a person. And so we're sitting there eating, and off of the plane comes somebody in a wheelchair, being pushed, people walking with him. And I do what I always do. My eyes met his. And oh, my goodness, my hair stood up on the back of my neck. And Michelle's sitting across the table. I said, my God, Michelle, that's Randy Travis. And she said, what? I said, that's Randy Travis. I don't know if you guys know this. Singer Randy Travis almost died, had a heart condition. While he was in the hospital being dealt with this infection, I think it was, he had a stroke. He almost went out, man, about 2 years ago. And he's handicapped. And there he is. He's coming right towards me. Well, I jumped up real quick. They came out and they turned and they kind of confused. You know how it is when you come off of a plane, you don't know what direction to go. And so they turned and they just stopped like we all do. Man, I jumped up and I ran down there. And I got to tell you, Rich, I got about this far away from him. I was down on my knees and I reached out and I grabbed a hold of his hands. And I'm looking him in the eyes. And I said, oh, Randy Travis, God bless you, Randy. What a blessing you have been to people. Everywhere we go, every place you go, people know your songs and your music. And we're so sorry what's happened to you. We pray that God would heal you. And I prayed over him. And Rich, Roger, these great big bright blue eyes looked right through me. And I'd seen that look so many times in these handicapped, autistic kids that I had. And I said, oh, Randy, there's somebody inside there, isn't it? I see you, Randy. God bless you, brother. And he looked through me with those eyes, and he said, thank you. And that was it. And I looked up. And his wife was weeping. And I got up and walked away. My wife was mad because she didn't have the boldness to come with me. That opportunity of a lifetime to look deep into Randy Travis's soul and speak life was one of the most profound moments of my life. Now listen to me. Michelle said to me, why would you do that? You're so bold. What made you do that? And I said, listen, man, it's all level at the cross. It's all level there. And he may be Randy Travis, and he may sing it forever and ever. Amen. He may be able to do all that stuff. But you know what? There's his butt sitting in a stinking wheelchair. Think what he used to have and what he has now. And you know what was really amazing? Nobody saw him but me. And I said to Michelle, if somebody would have said, ladies and gentlemen, Randy Travis, everybody would have jumped to his feet and clapped their hands and they'd have come over and given his autograph. And there he was, man. Just a humble man, broken. That chance to look into his soul, speak into his heart was a powerful moment. I'm going to show you a real clip, real short little clip here for you guys to see. I don't know if you know this. He lost his voice. Now, I'm going to play a clip, that he did of Amazing Grace at a music awards thing. But for the most part, he doesn't talk. I don't know how they got him to do this. And I just want you to see that after almost 18 months, what Randy Travis is, after 18 months of solid therapy, he's inducted into the Hall of Fame here. Just what, brothers, this happens to all of us, man. We all shrivel and die, man. When nobody escapes it. And this is his wife. It's powerful, man. Go ahead and play that real quick. And Jared, maybe we can skip past everything this lady's saying and, you know, when get up and Randy, because it doesn't last very long.
World singer. Wife Mary was at Travis's side as he took the microphone and shocked the audience by singing Amazing Grace.
We smile every morning, and there's some nights that we cry when we go to bed in frustration. We pray differently now, we trust faithfully, and we fight on. Every day we sing. It's a special thing to hear Randy Travis sing, I think. Don't you agree?
You'd be hard-pressed to find someone in attendance who wasn't tingling all over.
Sometimes we sing the greatest redemption song of all time, and it fills us with thankfulness. That song is Amazing Grace. Ladies and gentlemen, heroes and friends, tonight I want to give back to you the voice of Randy Travis. If you would all join in with Randy singing Amazing Grace.
Okay.
Garth will help you.
The Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Remember, it was just 6 months ago when we heard Travis speak for the first time.
You can cut that off there. So, you know, your life can really be impacted by just chance meetings like that. I was really, really impacted. You know, I posted it on my Facebook. All I posted on my Facebook page was that I got a chance to pray with Randy Travis. I don't think I've ever had a reaction as many people react to anything I put on my Facebook page as they, I didn't put video. I didn't say anything other than got a chance to pray with him. Powerful, man. Powerful. So I wanted to throw that out there, because that was probably the highlight of my week. And don't forget, fellas, guys and girls, we're all level at the cross, baby. We're all level at the cross. And I don't care how many records you sold, and I don't care how much money you made, and I don't care how big your house is. When you lay your head on your pillow at night, it's just you and God. And when we get to the point where we think that those guys in the pulpit or that guy in the White House or that guy wherever is any different, look at Randy Travis. Because it's in Yarod.
Oh, I just thank you for reminding us that at the cross we are all equal. So thank you.
Amen. Amen, Ben. Amen. I will never forget those deep blue eyes. Hey, guys, do you know how when you've looked at somebody and you know you've made contact with something deep? I made contact with something deep. I was on my knees right in his face. Oh, it's powerful. Praise the Lord. So I thank the Lord he let me do this. Okay, so listen, here's where I want to go this morning. Hey, Jared, pull up 2 Timothy. I said I was going to give you a warning, and then I didn't. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 real quick, because I got just kind of my reaction to what happened in where we were in Dallas, and just some stuff here. let's go to verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Think of your house. Some things are nicer than others in your house. If a man therefore purges himself from these things, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet or prepared for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I'm always amazed how, even though we don't like to talk about it in the church, the Bible talks an awful lot about works. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, follow faith, follow charity, follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Again, it's conditional. Is it with everybody, Larry? No. With those who call out of a pure heart. But here's what's important. That's what I want to talk about with Hear the Watchman. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now, what does that mean? It means arguments break out over small crap. Foolish and unlearned questions. Quit arguing over the small stuff, okay? Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord, that's you, Rich, that's you, Larry, that's you, Michael, that's you, Tyrell. Servants of the Lord must not strive or think themselves to be something important, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. That means control, not sissy. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Think about that a minute. They're fighting themselves. Many of the problems you have in your life and I have in my life, they're self-induced. I've done it to myself. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, by chance, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Wow. Think about that. See, you can only come to repentance by the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves. They may pull themselves out of the snare of the devil, who have been taken captive by him at his will. See, you will pull yourself out of the snare if you come and begin to acknowledge the truth. If you acknowledge the truth about you, if you acknowledge the truth about what's going on around you, if you acknowledge the truth about some of the things that you've been taught and some of the things that you believe and some of the ways that you've acted, if you will just acknowledge the truth, you will pull yourself out of the snare, because a lot of you are in the snare because of stupid stuff that you've done. That's what it says. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Stop it already. Stop it already. So that brings me to Hear the Watchman. Because I kept hearing over and over, and this is, anybody's watching this, if that Hear the Watchman, or anybody who's watching this later, or anybody, a speaker that haven't come across this, I'm not pointing my finger at anybody, so please don't anybody take anything personally. But I heard several pastors. There was George said it. There was great unity there. There was a great unity there in that everybody was searching. It's great unity in that aspect. Everybody was of one spirit in that aspect of it. But we continued. I heard him say over and over. People would say, "Oh, we're all on the same page, and there's the unity in this room." And you know, that ain't true. That just isn't true. And prophecy, I love Dizdar and I love Marzulli. I just love all those guys, Billy Crone and Derek Gilbert, Skywatch TV. Some of the stuff that they were presenting up there was like, this is so amazing. There's so much I don't. You feel that way, Rich, George? I'm saying, oh my God, are you kidding me? How can that be true? But you know what I realized? I hope they don't take this wrong. I know they won't. It's really foolish and unlearned questions. We went to an event that really, in the big picture of things, really doesn't have a whole heck of a lot to do about anything other than our study of the Bible, greater understanding of the scriptures, preparation for where we're heading, what to expect. Don't be caught with your pants down. From that aspect, it's important. But I kept thinking how many guys were up there who didn't agree on theology. And I began to think about the guy sitting beside you, even George, or the guy sitting beside you doesn't. I had this one guy kept coming back to my table because he didn't agree with what they were talking about. So so finally I said to him, "Brother, just chill out and relax, man. Relax. You're worrying about what? Foolish and unlearned questions here. Stop it already." It was ruining his trip. So I said, "Okay, I got thinking about this morning. Lord, what is the big stuff?" People say, don't sweat the small stuff. Hey, Rich, all we talked about was the small stuff, really. That's really all prophecy is. You're talking about some small stuff. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Carl Gallup said something I thought was so profound. Pastor Carl Gallup. He said he didn't care how many charts you had. Prophecy charts connecting this to this and this year to this year and this year to this 49 years later. And he said, "Listen, you ain't going to box God into no chart. So you can chart yourself all you want to, and you're not going to control him. He's going to do what he's going to do in the way that he's going to do it. And there ain't a daggone thing you can do about it, nor think you're going to figure it out. Because Jesus himself said, no man knows the day and the hour. Nobody does." So Jared, pull up here. It says, what do I have it say? Essential doctrines. Theopedia, essential doctrines. So I said, you know what? Before we read this, that one's good. Stay there, Jared. That's good. What are the doctrines? I mean, we got Baptists, Methodists, and Lutherans, and Church of Godders and Church of Gods and Christ and Disciples of Christ and Disciples of Christ and Christian Union and Christian Union and blah, 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 all boom, 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 boom. And we're in a room and we're talking about we're all on the same page, and we aren't. We're not on the same page. What are the essentials? Folks, I'm talking to all of you out there. Stop it a minute. What are the essentials of the Christian doctrine?
Well, death, burial, resurrection.
Well, I'm going to give them to you here. What supposedly they are. But I'm going to tell you something. You couldn't probably hear it. Pastor Paul Bagley. We can't even agree over baptism, right? Do you baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost? Or do you baptize in Jesus' name? Because both are in the Bible. And you know that we will argue over how you baptize, right? That's a foolish and unlearned question. So Paul Bagley baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. So he covered the whole thing. I kind of like that because I'm sure there, you know, there'd be people saying, "Oh, that wasn't real. That wasn't important, or that's you didn't do that right. You didn't use the right words." So what are the essentials when you come in contact with another Christian? What are the essentials of the faith that every one of us ought to agree on? And then let me go one step further. Why we spend so much on this time on this other crap? Not that it's crap. Why do the non-essentials become the focus of denominations and churches and meetings and prophecy conferences? What is with us when he's told us specifically? Man, so it's hard for me. I'm watching, I say Rich and George because they were there. I'm listening to these guys. And do you understand that everything they're talking about has to do with their opinion of end times theology? Once you get an end time theology, you are going to take that Bible and you're going to make it fit your end time theology. Give me a thumbs up, Michael. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? If you believe there's a rapture coming soon, your reading of the scriptures is going to, it's going to look, that's the way it's gone. And if your reading of the scriptures is that preterism or that, you know, the hammer has already come down in Jerusalem in 60 AD or 90 AD, whenever it was. If you believe that, your whole theology is shaped by that. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to these great things, these great details these guys are telling us. And I'm thinking, God, Lord, I'd stamp my feet. I don't know. And I didn't know that. There's so much I didn't know. But none of it is essential. Go ahead, Michael. I saw you lean forward.
Too much of an emphasis on what we know instead of what we experience with God. And too much knowledge is so important. And it's not knowledge, it's wisdom that makes us who we are. The Holy Spirit in us gives us wisdom to discern and wisdom to know the truth and the whole truth. And there's a lot of information that can be given in between that, but you have to have wisdom to know what is important and what isn't.
So let me throw this in out here, Larry, before I get to the essentials here of the Christian doctrine. Hey, Larry, you either can eat pork or you can't. I mean, come on, you either can eat it or you can't. And is that an essential? Is that a salvation issue? Listen, Larry, you either keep the Sabbath on Saturday or Sunday. It's one or the other. But does it matter? And do we argue over it? Do we build a theology around it? And hey, whoa. Once saved, always saved. Can't lose your salvation. Well, I said, why the hell would you want to? What do you mean you can't lose it? Why would you want to lose it? It's a non-essential doctrine. And we get bogged down, over the foolish and unlearned questions. See, it's not saying the information is foolish. It's saying the question and the focusing on it is foolish. Quit worrying about that. Because I saw people got mad because somebody said, well, I'm Torah observant. Hey, Roger, are you Torah observant? Huh? You're not? Well, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Roger, huh? You keep the Sabbath, Roger? Which one? What are you doing? What? You don't? Well, I'm not gonna take communion with those guys. I'm not gonna. Are you with me? Am I making sense, George? Somebody help me out here, right? Right? And so what we do, the reason Christianity, I'm telling you, the reason that Christianity is not advancing is because we are advancing on foolish and unlearned questions that we don't even know the answer to. Rich, is it a pre-trib rapture? Or is it a post-trib rapture? Is it mid-trib? And hey, can I tell you something? Who cares? Who cares? Because it has absolutely nothing to do with my life. And so we see, I like looking at past history, dare I say this, more than pre-written history. I love hearing Dizdar talk about the spiritual realm. I love hearing Marzulli talk about the giants and the Nephilim. Oh, I love that. See, I think that's old history that we ought to be digging, checking into. But I'm going to tell you, I ain't got much time. I'm talking about me now. Sitting around and arguing when Jesus is coming and the signs of him. And hey, guys, I know he's coming. We have dinner at my house every Sunday night for my family, our children. And you know, Rich, sometimes I look out the window and wonder, where are they? Where's Maggie? She's late. But I don't let it ruin my dinner. Anybody know what I'm saying here? Yeah, you guys understand what I'm saying?
Hey, Dave, I'll take whatever rapture he gives me.
That's what, and I tell him, I say, listen, my rapture could come tonight, man. I could happen in the middle. Hey, Randy Travis, he didn't die, but he almost, you think he's singing forever and ever and amen, and the next thing you know, he's, huh? When, you know, there's a great line in that song, Three Wooden Crosses. He says it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's not what you take. It's what you leave behind you when you're gone. We don't think of that, do we? We don't think that way. So I'm not mad. I was happy. I enjoyed every speaker I heard. But every time they spoke, I heard their theology. Would you agree with that, Rich? George, you heard their theology when they were speaking? And so we got people sitting in the crowd that are mad because they don't agree with that theology. I say, I don't care about the theology. I just love people are cracking this thing open. And wow, I think I know Dizdar's theology. I think I do. End time theology, rapture theory. I think I know where he is on it. You know what? I don't care. When he starts talking about spiritual warfare and fight, that's what I want to hear. And if he wants, you know, but his theology shapes his what he says. Okay.
Hey, Bo,
yeah, hey, yeah. One, George first. Go ahead, George. Go ahead, George.
You know, first of all, why can't people just agree to disagree? And I think one of the biggest reasons is ego. I think when we keep our egos in check, then you know what, we can disagree with someone and walk away and still be friends.
I think it's ego and I think it's fear, George. I built my whole theology on this. I built my whole life on believing this. Man, I don't know about that. What were you gonna say, Rich?
You know, I was amazed at Russ, but and the wisdom and the dedication and the investment that he has made. And I appreciate listening every Tuesday on here, but what a heart that man has, man.
Oh,
I seen his wisdom on the show. I seen his heart this weekend. It was incredible.
It always comes back to the
chills now.
It always comes back to the gospel with him, doesn't it? Even though he's got all this other stuff and here's what it's going to look like. And here's it always comes back to the essential. See, back to the essential doctrine. I have to tell you a story and then I'm going to go to these essentials. This, you talk about something that blew me away. Time is it here? Ooh, I got to go fast. I'm sitting in my booth. You guys know how we were sitting there. And one of the couples that I would just, a couple I baptized, we baptized. I was in the water with them, and they come walking by after the baptism, and I just said, hey, you know, man, you came out of the water. You bounced out of that. Well, I said to the woman, Oh boy, she came over. She said, I would like to talk to you. I thought, oh boy, here we go. She takes me around the corner, sitting on the steps there. Then her husband comes by. I'm going to give you just the brief version. They have a son who's a daughter. You hear what I just said? They have a son who's a daughter. And she took me through the whole thing. He's 34 years old and just recently has started to make the transition. And so has all of his, she said, beautiful. She's beautiful, but he's he. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening. I just baptized these folks, right? And they came to the conference. I'm giving you the back draft on this. They came to the conference because they were convinced that the food we're eating, the stuff they're spraying on us, they went through a litany of about four or five different things, are causing this sexual dysphoria. They were convinced with it. And you know what? The most unbelievable thing, they had never heard the gospel. Is that unbelievable? And they knew about Dizdar, and they understood the spiritual realm to a degree from a end times prophecy thing, but they did not understand demons and the ability demons to be able to possess. And just in about 2 minutes, they understood. I said, listen, your son or your daughter needs a deliverance. See, they're blaming it on GMOs or chemtrails. And there may be something to it, right? I mean, it might be a portal. There may be something to it. But it shows, guys, listen, the gospel is always the answer. The gospel is always the answer. And they came looking for an answer to how they could help their son, daughter, who they love. I want to take you one step further. I got to ask Dizdar about this. The man was very, very soft-spoken. Very soft-spoken. And when his wife walked away, he said, let's elect a, can I tell you something? He said, I don't talk much. But I want to tell you, this. He says, I get wakened up often. In the middle of the night, I have this dream that these lizard people are chasing me. He takes me through the whole thing. He said, they're high intelligence. He said, I don't sense that they're going to hurt me, but I just run because I'm trying to get away from them. And he said, I sit in the middle of the night. And he said, last week or 2 weeks ago, I was out there, and they were chasing me, and they were just about to get me. And I yelled out, Jesus! And he said, it was like, boom! I was engulfed in a big ice cube, big white ice cube. And they came up and they saw the big white ice cube and they went around. And then I woke up and I went out and I looked outside and I was, and I'm thinking, what? And he goes, I have these dreams all the time. This goes on all the time. I'm like, I can't tell anybody. He said, I just be quiet. He was just a broken man, you know. And I'm riding home with Glenn Claremont. Glenn's taking me to the airport. Has this crossed anybody's mind? Glenn said, Coach, I wonder if he's been abducted. Didn't know it. Has he been taken? This incubus and succubus, and has this happened to this guy? So I just throw this thing out there. Man, the possibilities of the world are amazing. So I told him this. They wanted to bring their daughter, son. I kept calling him their son. They didn't get mad. They said, listen, our daughter doesn't go for this restroom crap. She doesn't go for all of this agenda that's going on. She just wants to be able to live her life the way she wants to live her life. And we love her because she's our child. And I thought that was interesting. And they were going to bring her, but they didn't know what the reaction would be. So I made the commitment to the two of them that we would help get Katie, who's really Kim, named after the dad, to Boise in August. So I'm excited. Anyway, that's kind of an aside. Fascinating story. Hey, let's get here to the essentials. These are the essential doctrines. Don't you wonder if we just stayed on these things, maybe life wouldn't be a little bit better? Let's scroll. This is Matt Slick, Carm. I always think Carm. Oh, I only got 10 minutes. Carm's always good. Matt Slick says, some emerging pastors might think that the concept of invariable essential Christian doctrines would be contrary to proper and healthy conversations as they experience the story of God in their lives and the lives of others. After all, absolute truths necessarily mean there are absolute errors. And far too many emerging pastors do not like the idea of alienating someone else's truth. We talk about that all the time, right? Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. We don't argue about that. So, lest they would develop a non-loving relationship with them and somehow offend them and not be able to reach them. It's understandable, but truth must be coupled with love, not sacrificed because of it. So Matt goes on down. He starts talking about the reason it's good to know essentials are multiple, but when we have essential truths, here's what happened. We can properly proclaim the truth of who God is. We can proclaim properly what God requires. Three, we can recognize errors that would jeopardize our salvation. And four, we can allow for a diversity of worship practices as long as essentials are not violated. But we know this, don't we, that most churches are built on the non-essentials. They're built on the non-essentials, okay? Scroll on down, Jared. I'm running out of time. Hey, Mark, good to see you there, man. Thanks for joining us here today. So here are the primary essentials, okay? If you are a Christian, you believe these. The deity of Christ. All right? We can read down through there. I said, therefore, to you that you will die for your sins. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So where Jesus clearly taught what you cannot deny and must affirm, that Jesus was God in the flesh. Number two, these are essentials of the Christian doctrine. There must be salvation by grace. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Number three, the resurrection of Christ. And if Christ be not raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Number four, essentials of the Christian faith, the gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what is accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Okay. Let's go to fifth one because we're short on time. Monotheism. There is only one God. Now, I disagree with this a little bit because there are other gods, but was one God above God, all gods, okay? Have no other gods before me, shall not make any idol, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so those are what they call essentials. Let's go real quickly, Jared, down to secondary essentials and ask yourself as you read these, what do we focus on in our churches? What's our focus? Secondary essentials. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Two, Jesus' virgin birth. These are essentials as well. Three, the doctrine of the Trinity. Go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our faith is only as good as who we put it in. There are false teachers who redefine God, redefine Christ, and redefine the gospel. Okay, I had to hurry through that. So, what do we see going on in America today? We see churches being divided over non-essential doctrine. How you baptize. Can you eat pork or not? Huh? You don't observe. You observe. Sunday worship? You don't follow the dietary laws? And now we've got called out different groups. This special group of Christians. I got mad at some guy the other day because I said, listen, don't tell me again. Oh, no, that's not how it came out. He called himself a Messianic Jew. I said, well, God bless you, man. I'm a Messianic German. You know, he ain't no different than anybody else, right? And you look at what's going on in the Christian church at the focus on the Jews. Hey, dude, Jews are lost. They're lost. They're as lost as the Muslims. Come on. So the guy kept coming up to me. He's upset. He says, we keep talking about unity. There isn't unity. You know, guys, it really isn't. We're really not unified. So we have to come to this conclusion. Are we going to argue over foolish and unlearned questions? Rich, yes or no? Yes or no? Does God care if you eat shrimp? I'm not taking a position. It's yes or no, isn't it? It's yes or no. Is it a salvation issue? Well, if it's a salvation issue, go back up there, Jared. Scroll back up there. Oh, I'm touching something now. I'm the touchstone is going to make some people nervous. Go up, keep going up, Jared. Man, I'm running out of time. Go up the top of the page, buddy. I'm sorry. Okay, keep going. There you go. Whoop, down. I'm sorry. Is it grace, faith alone in Christ alone, or is it Jesus and don't eat pork? Is it Jesus and don't eat shellfish? Is it Jesus and go to church on Saturday? Is it Jesus and baptize in Jesus' name? What is it? And is it essential? Because those are the things that are tripping us up. That's why there's no unity in the body of Christ. You with me? Somebody help me close up here this morning. I've been kind of hogging the mic.
The traditions of man always intervene with the gospel. What you've been raised with is in some tradition will affect your outlook on the gospel.
And, right.
Traditions are beautiful, and they do help preserve your faith, but it's not essential to what.
So are you telling me? You tell me, Michael, that if I go and sell everything I have and give it to the poor, and I totally, completely sell out to the Lord, do everything I can, but I go to church on Sunday, all that stuff's meaningless?
You know,
I'm asking.
It's how the Spirit drives you to what you do, you know, because there have been saints in the past, like Francis, gave up everything to be one with God and in a direction and a lifestyle that he and his followers have lived. But the essential ingredient is commitment to Jesus Christ and to walk out what Jesus said. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He didn't say follow that person. He said follow me. Mm-hmm. So it's how it's each of us looks at it and what comes to us in the Spirit, how to follow him.
Okay, so again, the essential doctrines, guys. We have to have the essential doctrines. But golly, Roger, George, somebody help me. Am I not gonna make it because I ate pork?
No.
Am I not gonna make it because I shaved my face?
Well, Coach, you know, the pork question, you know, I know you're asking in a rhetorical sense, is there some little thing of the details or the differences that's going to be an eternal determination on my destiny?
Right.
But, you know, this is where understanding and being able to go to the Word on your own and let the Word minister, Spirit minister to you through the Word goes, because Paul clearly wrote to the Romans, says one man esteems one day above another. One man says it's okay to eat this, and another one says don't. And about those things that don't make any difference, let each man be convinced in his own mind, and just what the Spirit had him write in the Word.
Larry, we got to tell everybody else how they have to live. It's Jesus and this. Yes, it's Jesus, but it's Jesus and this. And it's Jesus and this.
Now, what I want to get to here, Coach, is there's a little section in the Bible, it's a little verse that's in two different Gospels. In Matthew, it's in chapter 26, and in the verse is 13, Matthew 26:13. And this is where after Jesus has undergone the experience of the lady breaking the alabaster flask and pouring the oil on him, and the disciples, you know, they're back and forth about the valuable oil and wasting it and everything. He said, whatever this woman has done, wherever this gospel is preached, will, or is, what does it say? There shall also what this woman hath done be told for a memory, shall be told. And that's why I think that that, you know, not only because Jesus said it, that it's going to be told wherever this gospel is preached, that alone should be enough to say this is part of the essential gospel, because Jesus said it would be preached wherever. But also the concept and what it was that she did is what you're trying to, is what I hear you getting at, and that is Jesus, she gave that, all the oil went to Jesus, that flask was broken, didn't hold any. That flask would never hold any other oil because mm-hmm. it was broken. And that was, she gave the physical demonstration of the spiritual aspect of coming to Jesus, and that is you turn him into everything.
Amen. Larry, I'm with you, Larry. I'm up against.
That's part of the gospel message, is that total surrender.
I'm up against the clock. I hear you, Larry. Listen, folks. We got to discuss this more, man. This is the nub of it. Hey, Rich, are my prayers not being heard because I'm not using the name Yeshua? Are people not getting healed because I'm saying it in Jesus' name rather than Yahweh or Yeshua's name? Am I going to stand before the Lord and the Lord's going to say, oh, Coach, you were so close, but you kept talking to this other guy and I couldn't hear it? That sounds foolish, doesn't it? But the scripture says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Huh? Let's major on the majors. Let's get the majors right. And let's not go to war on the minors. All right? God bless you, man. God bless all of you. Russ won't be with us tomorrow. He's driving home 18 hours. But we'll have a good show for you tomorrow. God bless you. See you then.